You're listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom, hosted by Women for One truth teller, my friend and author, Kara Bradley. Real Women Courageous Wisdom is a podcast series featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women and kindred spirits passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others.
Hey everyone, Kara Bradley here for another episode of Real Women Courageous Wisdom. Excited today to bring to you Lisa Concilio Ryan. Lisa is a best-selling author and a certified integrative health coach. I've read a bunch of her stuff online, and I got to tell you, personally, I'm really excited to speak with her. So welcome. Welcome, Lisa. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
Yeah, it seems like from what I've read, you've had quite a journey of your own. And thank you for sharing it, because I think we can all relate on some level. Can you tell us a little bit about, well, firstly, I'd like to say thank you for being a truth teller, and maybe how you came to Women for One as a truth teller, and how it served you to share your story.
Well, I actually first found out about Women for One with, kind of being in touch with Marie Forleo, who is my business mentor. So when I first started my second life, I was a teacher in my old life. And when I started my health coaching business, Marie was my mentor. So I remember her talking a lot about the community. And then I just started following blogs. And I was just really inspired by all different types of people that would contribute. And I'm thinking, wow, they're saying some pretty deep stuff here. Mm-hmm. Things that, you know, that aren't just surface. And it was just really nice to know that, because especially when I was first starting my business, I was really worried about telling the truth in a way. Not that I would lie, but just say, well, you know, me coming to this point in my life, it wasn't such a big, pretty picture and it wasn't easy. And so I think being with you and the community, it just really allows everyone to kind of just shine their light authentically, and it just, do you know what I mean, helps everyone shine their light. So it's just amazing. So that's how I came here. And I guess for my truth, it all goes back to food and being Italian, as you know. I love food, but it wasn't always like that. So it kind of all started when I was about 8 with my relationship with food, and I was getting ready for a dance recital, and I had, you know, I was 8, and I don't want to tell you the year, but I had big hair, blue eyeshadow, you know, just out, fringe, like cowgirl outfit, yellow hat, you know, pink tights, and, you know, my black tap shoes, and I was getting ready, and pictures were being taken, and I was a very shy kid. I mean, I literally wouldn't speak in school. I wouldn't talk. I was just so shy. And I remember that day being like on top of the world until someone had mentioned to me, someone I love dearly, you know, Lisa, you're getting fat, you're getting chunky. So you better.
Oh, my goodness.
And now, granted, I love that person to this day. As you get older, you realize, oh, well, that's their stuff. But as an 8-year-old, I thought, I just equated it to, okay, if I don't lose weight, if I'm not skinny, then I won't have love. Therefore, I started looking to food as an enemy. And so my relationship with food wasn't very good, especially growing up. I would count how many things I would have a day. Like, I would only allow myself 5 items to eat, like a stick of gum, a slice of toast. That would be it. And of course, as a kid, I didn't have control over my food anyway because I wasn't buying it. I was only 8. And, you know, I would just at the end of the night, just, of course, pig out and then vow the next day. Okay, why are you so bad? Why do you do things like this? Okay, run an extra mile tomorrow. Or here, only have 2 things to eat. So unfortunately, like I said, the food became an enemy, very evil to me. And I did that for a few years. I would write it down, literally had notebooks of what I would eat. And so needless to say, I guess I, you know, had high school and college and things like that. But in my 20s, it kind of creeped back again where I would start every diet and food was deprivation, or I deprived myself, even on the South Beach diet, for 4 years, I deprived myself of fruit and strawberries and bananas because that was sugar. And then stage one, you don't eat sugar. And so, you know, I guess my truth does come from food, because becoming, you know, doing all those diets and having this unhealthy relationship with my body, even with my soul, like I wasn't really living a true life. I was constantly covering up or trying to manipulate really my true self. And I just ended up getting really sick. Yeah. So,
boy, I mean, yeah. your story is just, it's sad. It's common. We can all, as women, relate at some level to your truth. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. It was really,
I mean, I didn't think anyone was feeling like I was feeling. In fact, I thought I'm so strange and I can't tell anyone. And until I got very sick with hyperthyroidism and chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, all this stuff, and started looking at food as something that could heal me and that it's actually fun and good and it's food is love. Yeah, I guess, when you start eating real food and, you know, you become more real, and that's when you could kind of clear the clutter and see your truth. So
that's a great line. When you start eating real food, you become more real. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you think about the Velveteen Rabbit and all the love that the Velveteen Rabbit received, and then it became real. You know, mm-hmm. We've got to love ourselves. Boy, that is the truth. Well, let me ask you a question. Did it happen for you that you were able to then start to love yourself and treat yourself better and feed yourself more real food? Was that something that happened quickly, or was it a process? And if it was a process, can you explain a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, so it was not a quick fix at all, because of course it took me years to get to where I was. So it took me years probably, well, actually to get to where I am. So I was 28 when I got really sick and started making all these changes, and I'm now going to be 47. So it's like this lifelong process, but it did take time, because I still embedded in my cells is that I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough. No one's going to love me unless I'm, you know, it's embedded in there, but it took a lot. Luckily with food, you can manipulate, you know, you can choose what you eat. You can actually choose this type of tool. And so when I started to manipulate that and actually start to cook my own food with my own hands, because food is love, especially if you get to share it with somebody. And I shared it with my husband and then my kids. But I still had some things that I had to work on, and it wasn't until my daughter, because I still kind of had a disordered eating thing going on, and it wasn't until my daughter, she was around 2.5, 3 years old, and she looked at me one day and just went, "Mama, why aren't you eating?" Because I would stand at the table, you know, you make people food and you're just like, "Oh, I'm gonna go get something in the kitchen," and da da da. And I did not even think anyone knew what I was doing. My husband had no idea. But she saw that, and I went, "Oh goodness, I cannot have my daughter go through the pain I had to go through." And so that was a big pivotal point for me, a big turning point. And that's when I got more professional help so that I can have some therapy and work with a trained therapist on how to, you know, kind of look at food, because really the deep down thing was that I'm not good enough, the perfectionism kind of thing, you know, that disease that all of us kind of go through here and there throughout our time. But it did take a long time, and it wasn't until that pivotal point where things shifted dramatically for me. And then I started to really work with food and start to understand that, wait, food could actually make me run faster, because I was a triathlete. Oh, my goodness. I could feel things. I could feel. This is me. And I'm pretty awesome. It took a while. But it's not a quick fix, but so that was the process for that. And I'm still going. you know, I'm sure I will have lessons and I'll be learning forever until, yeah, until...
Yes.
Yeah, the end.
That's it. We're just perpetual students constantly unraveling, unblocking, looking at ourselves from different angles. And that's beautiful. I'm really gaining an appreciation. It's something you're saying. I've never really looked at food this way because I'm Italian myself. I mean, food is my life, you know,
right.
We're brought up with food. There's a lot of food around Italian homes and a lot of thought put into cooking food and eating together. But when you really truly think of food as life force, it really matters what kind of energy you're putting into your body. Because if you put subpar energy in, like, I guess it's kind of like, you know, crappy gasoline in your car, you're going to get a kind of putt-putt out there, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And I do talk about that with my clients a lot, especially when you eat higher vibrational foods. You know, you're raising the vibration, you know, in your cells, and you could see clearly. And just kind of like that real, you know, eating fake food, you're not gonna, you can't really see through that if you're masking exhaustion with your coffee or covering up with sugar, like being lonely, you know, things like that. So,
yeah. Wow. So tell us a little bit about where you are now, because that was a brilliant story. And it's your experience, which I know, I'm sure many listeners and in many ways myself, I've dealt with, you know, angles of this. Mm-hmm. But it always helps me to hear how people have transitioned and then like, you know, how they start to share it with others. So tell us where you are.
Where am I now? Well, like I said, I'm still learning, but it's gotten to a brilliant point in my life. When I started my business about 5.5 years ago, I mainly focused on whole food cleanses and really going through the seasons and talking about that balance. Even in the physical body, we want that, you know, pH level of the blood cells to be 7.365, and, you know, acidic foods cause us to tip over and that leads to inflammation, therefore chronic illness. So anyway, as I was working with all of my clients and also cleansing with them each season, and, you know, obviously I did a lot of work beforehand before I started my business with my health and my food. But that said, over time, when you start to clear away that clutter that I talk about, you know, you start to have this appreciation for your body. And it's like, wow, the body actually knows everything. Oh, my body actually is so wise, and I better just listen to it, because I'll read this diet book, or I'll read something I see on an infomercial, or I'll, you know, like, you're just like, who is that? She looks amazing. What is she doing? And then you find out, oh, well, they don't eat. Well, I'm like, I don't want to go back to that. Mm-hmm. Or they, you know, don't have the carbs, or, you know, and carbs are wonderful. Fruits and vegetables are carbs, you know, things like that. So anyway, I'm at the point now personally where I can, start to see shifts in my body where, let's say, for the past month, I was doing a lot of book tour things. My book, Go Clean Sexy You, my seasonal cookbook came out a few months ago. And I do, you know, I'm doing book signings and things like that. So I was traveling. And, you know, I went to New York and things like, you know, some cities in the East Coast. And I ate out a lot more than I used to. And, of course, that's a lot more sugar and salt, things like that. And over a few weeks, I'm just like, oh, my goodness, why am I breaking out? And my stomach, I have this big pouch. What's going on? And before, 20 years ago, I would say, I suck. I'm horrible. Why can't you do this? What's wrong with you? Don't eat this. And, you know, and I kind of went, oh, wait, I'm eating out. That must be it. I'm eating out and I'm drinking, you know, I like kava. Mm-hmm. So I would have a glass of kava here and there. I'm like, you know, some alcohol, this is the reason. This, Lisa, you know this. And then, you know what I mean? And I could reboot from there. And that's what I teach my clients. And so that's where I am right now, is working with clients online, specifically with big groups. We have a spring cleanse coming up. We do summer, winter, fall. And I coach in between those seasons with support, because it's kind of learning what works for your body and what doesn't. Because what works for me, maybe someone who eats out doesn't have any issues and it doesn't bother them. But for me, I can tell that bothers me. So mm-hmm. I need, you know, it doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, it takes a while, and it, your body changes every year, every month, maybe even every week.
Yes.
So it's kind of tuning into body, what do you need? What's the answer here?
Yes.
And then kind of moving from there. And it's actually such freedom. I've never felt so free.
Oh, that's so
great. I've never felt free.
Well, you can hear it in your voice. You really sound liberated from really the getting sucked down into kind of the dungeon of being an emotional eater. I know. I've been there myself. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a feeling of, I don't even know. This freedom is, it's just a feeling of ease.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the way I always think about it, I have been an emotional eater in the past. It's really separating the emotion from the food. We attach certain emotions. Oh, I'm happy, I'm going to go get an ice cream sundae. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sad, I'm going to go, you know, eat the sundae in my room under the covers. You know, so we have these associations with food. And if we can, what I've learned through mindfulness practices and getting quiet and getting still is you start to see those unhealthy attachments. And once we can kind of find the way to separate the two, it food becomes food, which is a source of energy for us to live and to enjoy, but also it's not the pathway to enjoyment. It's the fuel that allows us to then be vibrant and enjoy. Am I kind of saying that okay?
You're saying it. I love it. I'm digging it. So yeah, definitely. I definitely understand what you're saying. I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But taking the emotion out of food is a haul, but it's possible. I mean, obviously it's possible because you found that freedom after being through what you've been through.
Yeah. I think that happening when I was 8 was actually a blessing and such a good thing. Even though it is sad, and it's sad to see when I look back at my poor 8-year-old self, I go, oh, you know, I kind of give her a gentle squeeze of, you're fine. But you know, that person wasn't trying to hurt you. It was just their thing, and you're okay. Food is good. But I think it was all a blessing because I'm now teaching. Cause like I said, I was a teacher of first graders, fifth graders. You know, I love teaching. I love the kids, but there was always something missing. Mm-hmm. And now I get to teach what I love to teach. So it's just so much fun.
Well, that's great. And I have to tell you all listening, definitely check out Lisa's website. I'm going to have her give you all that information. Excuse me. She's got a ton of great stuff, a blog, recipes, freebies on there. I just watched a great video called the five step method for making smoothies. Really inspired by, it's a really fun website, very light and friendly. So definitely check that out. And also her book. And Lisa, I'm going to have you read off all that for us, but I'm going to ask you first before you do that, could you give us a tip or tips, maybe two or three, one, whatever you feel you've got in your pocket for us to take away with us just to perhaps start to change our relationship with the way we look at food?
Okay. I probably have 500 tips, so I'm going to narrow it down. Let me
buy the book, right?
I know. I'm like thinking, let's see. So the first thing, actually, you know what? I only have one. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
And this is the most important one of all. Because I could talk about drink your water with lemon in the morning, because that will boost your metabolism and set you up for a good day of eating and kind of getting to yourself and meditation that you talked about. But it's really the thought of treating yourself like you are sacred, because you are. You are sacred. Knowing that you're sacred and that you're what we're doing here, the truth, is special, and it's mandatory for all of us to grow as a collective community globally throughout the world. And so having that, and I talk about it in my book, but it's really just really every time And it goes back to, I don't know if you know Danielle Laporte, I'm sure that sure. It goes back to her one book, and I can't remember. I think it's The Desire Map. Where and I talk about this also with my clients, but I do this with myself when I really go, Lisa, you know, are you hanging out with these people? They're not, you know, treating you well. So it's just like choosing who you hang out with, what you put in your home, what you read, things like that. But especially since food is something, like I said, we could definitely manipulate and choose, you know, really choosing what foods to put into your body and always asking, hey, I'm sacred. Is this going to support me in growing and doing my soul's work? Is this going to help me shine my light? And sometimes it's yes, I'm going to eat that chocolate cake. I don't care. You know, you're like, of course.
Sure.
Definitely go for it. But a lot of the times, just kind of that thought of just treating yourself like you're sacred. I know it's not like a specific food tip.
No, it's beautiful.
But
it's beautiful.
I think no matter what, you know, like making salad jars a day, you know, or doing your smoothies, definitely great tips. But I feel just having that key message that goes, you know, goes throughout your mind throughout the day. Because, you know, we tend to harm ourselves most of all with our thoughts. So,
well, I have to agree with you. I think making friends with yourself and understanding, you know, how to treat yourself kindly, just as you treat those loved ones in your life, if you can turn it around and treat yourself like that first. Which is what you said, just recognizing your life is sacred. This is it. We got this one right here. So, yeah, that is beautiful. Thank you for that. So please share with us where we can find all your great stuff.
Well, so my site is wholehealthdesigns.com. And I have a lot of freebies there. I constantly try to put information and giveaways and things that you can use right away, that you can implement hands-on. I also hang out a lot on Instagram. So Whole Health Designs on Instagram and Facebook, Whole Health Designs there. And that's where I mainly hang out and where you can find me and get lots of, you know, lots of freebies and love and all kinds of recipes and stuff like that. So
fantastic. And tell us the name of your book again.
Oh, so it's Go Clean Sexy You. And it's a seasonal guide to healthy living throughout the whole year. And so I broke up when I was talking about my cleanses with my clients. They were always like, can you write a book? Can you write a book? Come on. They would always download all this stuff. And so when I worked with my publisher, we picked the best recipes throughout the years, the favorite recipes. And we put them into seasons with a 10-day plan of clean eating and then a shopping list. And then the recipes are 5 ingredients or less. Nourishing for different, of course, parts of the year, such as springtime. Cleansing the liver is very important according to traditional Chinese medicine. So a lot of the foods support the liver. And again, it goes throughout the whole year like that, you know, with different seasons. So yes, so that's my book, baby. And you can find that on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles. It's in Whole Foods and bookstores and stuff like that. So
yay. Well, congratulations on that. That's quite a feat.
Oh, thank you.
Best-selling author. Very, very
excited. Yes.
Wonderful to speak with you, Lisa. Thanks for sharing this, your story, because I know it touches so many of us out here listening, and for then being proactive enough to then turn it around and share your story with so many valuable insights for the rest of the world. You've done so much for so many, I'm sure. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you. I had an amazing time talking with you, and I'm just so grateful that we got a chance to chat and, you know, do some truth telling.
That's it. And thank you all for listening, and we hope that you'll join us again next time for another episode of Real Women, Courageous Wisdom.
Thank you for listening to Women for One's podcast series, Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. If you like what you just heard, we hope you will subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in becoming a Women for One truth teller, visit womenforone.com to learn more. For more information about our host, Kara Bradley, visit her site, carabradley.net. Join us next time for another enlightening conversation with powerful everyday women.